Going to minister a little differently than I usually have been lately. I've got some scripture this morning I want to read. And obviously it's out of Psalm 78. God has been moving on me to try to get his people closer to what he's wanting. Okay? And I will try to explain that. We are trying to heal ourselves. We are trying to clean up ourselves. We are trying to do everything ourselves instead of relying on him to do it. Okay? A lot of places over time has taught that you have to do. Yeah, let me stop right there. There are things you need to do. But the biggest thing you need to do is trust on him. He has already sanctified you. That's it. You will never be more holy than you are right now. Oh, but Pastor, you don't know. Yes, I do know. It's because of the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross and subsequently finished with the empty tomb. Because of that work, you are already righteous. You have to believe it. And this comes in the hard part. Believing is not simple. The world looks at believers and they say, you believe in a God that you cannot see. I believe in money that I can. I believe in gold that I can see. I have not seen that I've been atoned for my sins. God did not come down to me in a vision or a dream or during my baptism and say, you're cleared. Did not happen. It had to come with belief in him. That's the only way that we attain that. And even Jesus himself said that when the Son of Man returns, and I believe our days are short, that he will return, they'll be talking about Christ again. But when he returns, he says, will he really find faith? Now, I'm a firm believer in faith. Do not get me wrong. I believe you can call things in. I believe that by faith, you can do things. You can move mountains by faith, okay? But through the years, a simple faith message has been turned to just be believing for money. And I am against that. If you need finances, you believe for it. Jesus was teaching his disciples that in the very beginning. He said, don't take a purse. Just believe that as you go, I will provide. They came back rejoicing. Do you understand that? They came back rejoicing because God provided for them on the road. They didn't have to take up big offerings to get out and go ahead and do what they were called to do. God has showed us that with this. We have not taken up large offerings. Yes, we give you an opportunity once a month for the building fund. But do you understand the work, the things that are happening, how miraculous all of that is? Churches are in decline. People that went out and they spent millions of dollars on mortgages are losing their churches. Because they got people believing just for finances, but when the stuff hit the fan, they had no real depth to their faith. When the economy tanked, that's where their faith was at, was in the economy. Their faith was not in God to take care of them. From day one, our faith has been that God will take care of us. Everything we do, and you can ask anybody, everything we do here, we don't always have money sitting around to say, hey, let's do this. We got all kinds of money just running out our ears. No, but if God tells us to do something, we move and do it. And guess what? God provides. We didn't have the money to buy this building when we got it. I didn't have the money to rent the other building, to rent the space that we needed in the other building that we had, and we were functioning there. And the rent was going to go up significantly. So I'm thinking, oh, Lord, how are we going to rent this? We had $3,000 in our building fund when we bought this. Anybody done a remodel project in the last 15 years? $3,000 doesn't go very far, especially when you're remodeling 2,800 square feet. But do you know that from that $3,000, 3 months later, we spent $18,000 and did not get people to believe that their only thing was prosperity? We went ahead and did what God did, and the money came in. So now let's turn your Bibles this morning to Psalm chapter 78. I tell you all of this to remind you of the things that God has done. We have a tendency to forget. Yeah, we're not starting at verse 1, so don't go memorizing there. It's been said that when we forget the past, we're doomed to repeat it. Does anybody really want to repeat your past? There are some things, there are good things in it, right? But there's a lot of bad things that happened, and it's like, oh, if I'd have just done that a little differently. Well, you can't go back and do that again. Every nation is the same way. When we get away from God, we go back and repeat the past. Anytime we get away from God, we're doomed to repeat a cycle. And our faith is no different. If we forget to believe God, we forget to remember the great things that He did. That is the point of testimonies. Now, you may ask, well, Pastor, I've not seen in your services where you give people the opportunity to testify. And let me explain to you why I don't. Growing up, I attended, unfortunately, many churches. And when testimony time came around, people gave up and testified at how strong the devil was. Oh, the devil, he's been after me. Honey, he's been after mankind since our inception. You're not special in that fact. But the fact is, you need to trust God in all of that. The devil is after every last one of us to destroy us. That's why Peter said, be wise, be sober, be vigilant, for your enemy, the devil, roams about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Vigilant means you've got to be on your toes. Sober means you've got to be clear thinking all the time. That means you've got to be steadfast in something. And I've told you lately, everybody, I know there's been people trying to teach you that nothing bad can come your way. That's hogwash. Bad stuff happens to good people. Well, why? I don't know. I don't have all the answers in that. I don't have a crystal ball that I go into my office and, oh, here's why this happened. Here's the future. It doesn't happen that way. Why did it happen? I don't know. But I do believe that when we stand before God, all things will become knowledge to us. We will know why things happened. Why did my aunt die? Why did my mother die? Why did my father die? I don't know. Some people try to come out and say it was a lack of faith. I don't know. And I'm not going to stir up trouble and stir up stupid thinking in that area just try to so I can feel all knowledgeable about faith. I don't know. My faith is in God, that He knows what's going on, and that if I'm following Him, there's a reason. So that means you'd follow God even if He led you through a swamp. You'd better believe it. One time I had the opportunity to talk to Doc Barclay about Marine Corps recruit training. One of the things I thought was so stupid that the Marine Corps did, they would take 80 guys, stick them in, we called them cattle cars. Okay, they were basically fifth wheel people haulers. Okay, and we would take... And they would take us out to the field in these things with all of our gear. You got a great big pack on your back, and they shove you in something that is no longer than a stock trailer. And not much wider. It's got bars in the middle so you can hold on to a few seats. But the truth of the matter is, anybody that's ever been in one knows you don't get to sit down on them. And they take you and they shove you in there. We take four or two of them going out. We got 40 people in each one. But guess what? On the way back, they'd give us one. I thought, this is stupid. Why are we doing this? I mean, we are packed in there like sardines. Literally, you did not have to have any effort to stand up. You just kind of hung out. Most of us would take a nap. Just lay our helmet on the pack in front of us and go to sleep. You weren't going to fall. We were that tight. And I asked him one day, I said, why? Why did they do that? I said, was there a purpose behind that? He said, yeah. He said, it was to teach the Marines how to overcome the lack of transportation. That they could get along with each other long enough to get to their destination. Yeah, you're right, we did. Because you weren't going to hit anybody while you were in there. You couldn't move your hands. And you usually had a rifle jabbing you in the rib or in the side of the head. What are you going to do? You learn to get along with each other. So there were purposes and reasonings behind things. God has purposes and reasonings for things that happen in our lives. And they build us up and they make us stronger. I still live by the adage that that which does not kill you only makes you stronger. If it killed you, yep, it found out just how weak you were. But a boxer doesn't get in a ring and start boxing against a weakling. He goes against somebody, hopefully, who is his match. Otherwise, that's not even really a fair fight. I don't want to be known for fighting guys that were below my abilities just so I can pad a reputation and a winning record. That's not what he wants to do. He wants to get in with somebody who can threaten to hurt him to find out just how good he really is. Let's go to verse 12. Psalm 78 and verse 12. Marvelous things he did in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the water stand up like a heap. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He split the rocks in the wilderness, and he gave them drink in abundance like the depths. He also brought streams out of the rock. He caused waters to run down like rivers. But they sinned even more against him by rebelling against the Most High in the wilderness. And they tested God in their heart. It says they sinned and they tested God. You want to know how they did it? By asking for their food, and they tested God in their heart by asking for the food of their fancy. They asked because they didn't believe. God knew they were going to need food. He knew they were going to need water. He knew all of that. Don't you think he made provision? God, he's called the Lord of hosts. Do many of you know what that really means? We think, oh, the hosts of heaven. No, a host is a military term. He's the commander in chief, and a good commander in chief does not take his troops out unprepared. He makes provisions for food at this stop. He makes provisions for food at this stop. There was a time in life the only food they could get sometimes was what they could go into a village or a town and take. But a good commander-in-chief makes sure that his troops are well prepared, that they've got food, they've got provision. They did not trust him. By the way, this was after they saw the miracle at the Red Sea. They saw it, they experienced it. How could you not trust God after that? But it said they sinned. They were more worried about their fancy. Do you know what God did? God not only gave them bread to eat, folks. Said he gave them angels' food. We'll read that here in a minute. Food from heaven. Probably beat the pants off of angels' food cake. But you see, he took greater care of them than they could imagine. Had it been me, you might have got cornbread. Or biscuits. I know you're like, oh wow, those are really good. You'll get real sick of it. He went above and beyond what he needed to do. Verse 19, yes, they spoke against God. They said, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? They began to doubt him. Folks, we're focusing, we need to eradicate sin, yes, but we need to focus on believing him. He wants faith and trust. You need to work on cleaning up the sin in your life, yes, because God knows what it's doing to you, what it's doing to people around you. But if you do not believe him, that's a greater sin. Behold, he struck the rock so that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide meat for his people? Therefore, the Lord heard this and was furious. So a fire was kindled against Jacob and anger also came up against Israel because they did not believe in God. Again, Jesus said, when I come back, will I really find people who believe in me? Oh, yes, I believe in God. James said it best. You do well. For even the demons fear and believe. And they fear so much that they tremble at the mention of his name. And did not trust in his salvation. Yet he commanded the clouds above and they opened the doors of heaven. And rain or had rained down manna on them to eat, and he gave them of the bread of heaven. Men ate angels' food. He sent them food to the full. He caused an east wind to blow in the heavens, and by his power he brought in the south wind. And he also rained meat on them like the dust, feathered fowl like the sand of the seas. And he let them fall in the midst of their camp, all around their dwelling, so that they ate and were filled. For he gave them their own desire. See, we think we'll believe God more and more if he gives us the things we desire. And getting the things we desire does not solidify our faith in God. It solidifies our faith that if we act like spoiled brats, we will get what we want. We do not act like children who believe in God. If your children come and ask you,